Or Yud Aleph Sivan, Thursday night, Shmaitza Shir, Shmaitza Gimel Perek Tes, and we're gonna. We're gonna go to the Marit. In other words, we learned about the Rebbe of the Marit, and it was just a prelude, really, to the Marit Shita. And really, we're gonna learn the Marit Shita, basically, till the end of Perek Tes. In Perek Yud, the Shmaitza is going to say that Chazaka Hasuya Lishtanos, which means a status quo situation, which is, what's a good English word for omade? I know in art school we always, no, when something's omade to change. Well, how would you say that in
English? Predisposed.
Destined. What?
Predisposed.
Predisposed, that's not bad. Destined isn't good. It's omade, you say something's omade to be eaten. No, you don't say predisposed. It's destined.
It's going to be
destined. That's
it's omade. It's destined. Is there a word like omade, though? It stands to be eaten. Like, literally, just doesn't work.
Destined, though, is very good.
Destined. But it...
No, based on its, that's its destiny.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so Chazaka Asuya Lishtanos, the Maritz is working out his theory here that a chazaka, a status quo situation, that you want to use to decide how to deal with a suffix situation, so that is not a chazaka. Not a chazaka. And I could see the rationale would be quite simple, really, because the idea of chazaka is the status quo, which means don't assume change, don't even allow for the possibility of change. I mean, we know it's a suffix, we know we have a doubt. And the Torah says you can use chazaka to deal with doubt. So assume no change. I guess that's the better way of putting it. Assume no change. I would say the svara of the Marit is that this is not called change. If something is destined to change, then the change is not a change. I guess that's the svara. I mean, that's what I would say. The Shmaitza in Perek Yud, which we won't get up to tonight, that's where he takes over. And he argues with the Maritz principle. And he says, Chazukah Hasuya Lishtanos is a Chazukah. That's what he's going to say in Perek Yud. He's going to argue with the whole ball of wax. Meanwhile, we're in Perek Tes, and we're learning the Maritz that Chazukah Hasuya Lishtanos, a status quo situation, which is destined to change. Okay, that's good. That's a mouthful. I'd rather say chazaka soya lishtanos. Is not a chazaka. So, let's pick it up. Okay. I know, I was hoping you'd forget.
That's right, we were discussing that. We're doing some bizarre.
Okay, so he says, umihu, can we start from the word umihu? See, it gets very involved in the Toisus and Yevamos. Umihu, I don't know, I have it in bold, so I don't know. Yeah, that's it, bingo. Bingo. Yeah, wow, how'd you find it? I only found it because by me it's bold and a larger font. Umiyu, imhashta. Okay, what's he's going to explain Toisus and Yevamos now, before we learn it inside. Toisus and Yevamos, here we go. The Gemara says, if you have a suffix, if someone's 9 years old or not, right, by 9 years old, his bia has a status of a bia, a legal intercourse, right? Otherwise, it's nothing. It's just whatever it is. It's not called a bia. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, by the way. I don't think there's any physical difference. I don't think there's any physical difference. After 9, it's called a bia, and before 9, it's not. Anyway, so if it's a suffix, he would disqualify the lady from eating truma, for whatever reason. He's a mamzer, whatever the case happens to be. There are many cases in which Sulem, disqualified people, disqualify a woman that they have beer with, meaning truma. Okay, now we have a suffix. We don't know if he's 9 years old or not. We know he's apostle, but we don't know if he's 9 or not. Now, for sure, he's 9. We see him now. We don't know when his birthday is. He's bar mitzvah now. He's wearing tefillin, okay? Now he's for sure over 9. He stopped paying half price on Egged. So we know he's over 9 now. But we don't know when his birthday is. So Tosfos wants to know why does he passel the woman? So ostensibly, it would seem that Tosfos' kasha is follow the Chazaka de Meikara, that he's under 9. But the Marit, so Marit rejects that now because that is a Chazaka Hasuya Lishtanos. It's obviously, and I'm saying even stronger. It seems to me, I don't know if I'm right, but it seems to me it's even stronger than a Chazaka Hasuya Lishtanos because it's already changing every second. It never stays the same. So he has to give a different interpretation now to Tosfos' kasha. Now, I don't take responsibility for this, because if you look at Tosfos, then you don't really see that the Marit could be serious and give a different interpretation to Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos pretty much says that the Cheskas Katon, that he's Chazaka under 9. Nope. The Marit learns that Tosfos' kasha is based on the Cheskas Kashrus of the woman. Why does the Psofek Ben Tes passel the woman? Why don't you follow the Cheskas Kashrus? It's also Chazaka. The woman's kosher to eat Truma and to marry a Kayan, or at least she was up till now. Now we have a Suffolk if she became Pasul. So follow the Chazaka. That's Tosfos' kasher. Nobody said she's married. If a girl... What?
Why is she eating truma?
Maybe she's not, but she will forever be forbidden to eat truma. If she ever met... She could be a Bas Kohen, she could be a daughter of a Kohen. Or if she... For the rest of her life, she can't eat truma. Even if she marries a Kohen. She's not allowed to marry a Kohen. I mean, she's called a Zona. We're talking about she's called a Zona.
If she does, the condition is toxic.
Yeah.
So she, from the 9-year-old, she would need to get. No?
He didn't marry her. He just had beer with her. He didn't marry her. It's something to think about. You know, we don't... Again, why would beer without kedushin? Again, this is a little of the realm of philosophy. That there's such an idea that beer without any connection of Ishus would actually disqualify a woman from ever eating truma. Like, even if someone raped her, even if someone was ma'anas her. Okay. Now I want to explain, the Marit's really weird if you look at Tosfos. But he's not that weird, and I want to explain why. The question, again, it's the, what did we call it? It's the pragmatic question and the source question. Meaning, the pragmatic question is the woman kosher apostle? We don't really care. We're not buying the kid a birthday present. We don't care how old he is. We're not egged. We don't care if he's paying full fare or half fare. We don't care. We care if the woman's kosher apostle. But the source of that question is how old he was at the time of the bia.
So which one of those chazakas, if you will, is closer to the issue?
So we've already learned, based on either the Beis and Beis with the mikvah, that you really want to resolve the source one more than the pragmatic one. I know pragmatic is not the word we use. We use the different word.
Makori and
Yisodi. What was the first? Makori
and Yisodi. No, like in foundation.
No, I wouldn't say Yisodi. Makori or Pragmati.
Relevante.
What?
Relevante.
Relevante, right. No, that is correct. The relevant question is he kosher or apostle? The Makori question is, how old was the kid? So Tosfos refers to how old the kid was. The Maritz says you don't really have a chazaka that he was less than 9 because that's a chazaka that's always changing. And the real Tosfos question is, follow the chazaka of the kashrus of the woman, which is the relevanti chazaka. But it can't, you know, like
funny word.
It can't exact. It can't exist in a vacuum. We know that the question is, in other words, if you had to graph it on a blackboard, you would say there's a chazaka de meikara that the woman's kosher, and that like forces us, so to speak, that pushes us to say that the kid was under 9. In other words, it's like but it forces us to say that, even not being a Biro Mitzius. If the kid was 9, she's posel. So the psak that she's kosher is also a psak, a back
that he was under 9.
That he was under 9. It's also when Tosfos talks about him being under 9, it's not so crazy to say that Tosfos is talking about the chazaka that she's kosher, because they're inextricably linked. And you have to talk, you have to be able to say, just like we always talk about the Cheskos Eishes Ish, will force you to say that the get was closer to him than to her, if he threw her a get. So, I don't know, the word forces, it forces you to say that. So it becomes... we're talking about the ramification, the ramification situation. The chazaka says she's kosher. That will, it's not always like that. Always you have a question and you resolve the question with the chazaka and Shalom al Yisrael. Here, I'm just trying to explain Tosfos' wording. Even if you're not dealing with a chazaka of the source issue, how old was he? But a chazaka of the practical issue, the relevant issue of the Shikasher apostle, will allow you to say the chazaka says he's kosher, so it also pushes me or forces me or allows me to say he was under 9.
But does it?
You can't leave it in a vacuum. There's no such thing as a vacuum.
You can't leave it in a vacuum, but a couple of chapters ago we learned that chazakas sometimes are at different levels.
Yeah.
Okay, you can have a chazaka this level. Are we possibly dealing with the same thing here, that you have the chazaka of the Ashes being kosher and the chazaka of whether he was that he wasn't 9? Are they the same level, or are they like this?
According to the Maritz, we're ignoring the chazaka that he wasn't 9. We're saying that's not a valid chazaka. There's no such chazaka. It's a chazaka that's always is changing or it's destined to change, not a chazaka. And Tosfos in his question means, why don't you follow the Cheskos Kashrus of the Isha? I just want to explain, because I think it's important. First of all, the Lashon on Tosfos is... And also it's important to know that, because you'll find Lashonos in the Gemara all over Shas. You'll say, the person's Becheskos Tuma, so we will then have to say, he wasn't Tovel in the Kosher Mikvah. Meaning that mitigates, that's the word I'm looking for. It mitigates us into saying that he was on the 9. It mitigates us into saying that the mikvah was deficient under 40 saw. So it's not a beer on.
You don't have to say that. You're not supposed to say that. That's not true. It can both be kosher. We don't have to say it.
Okay. You want to go into it? You're wrong. I mean, you're yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. I am not. You are forced. No. You're right. The reason you are saying what you're saying, Rabbi Shua here is saying, if chazaka is not a birur, if it's not clarifying what indeed happened, it's just saying follow the status quo. So why can't it exist in a vacuum? That's your question. So the answer is, It can only, I told you, some achronim, and I saw a few weeks ago, you favored that approach. Call chazaka on hanhoga. It tells you what to do. If you look at it that way, then it's just telling you what to do, but it's blinding you to the metzius, then you're right. If it's telling you what to do, it's saying, okay, you can marry this woman. You have blinders on, and you're not looking, right? But that's a basic fundamental error.
What about Shnei
Shvi'im? There's no such thing in the Torah. Even if Shimon doesn't say that, Shimon Shkab, there's no hanhaga. No hanhaga. The Torah, we don't exist in a vacuum. What it is it tells us, assume. The word assume is very important. There's an assumption based on birur, clarification. The word clarification is not the best word. Based on
ascertaining
the metzius. And even if you didn't ascertain it 100%, let's call two witnesses 100%. Right. So you have less than that. You have 60%. But it's still a birur. Chazaka is not at all a birur. Chazaka says, until you know, you have a suffix if there was change. So the din chazaka is that until you know that there was change, assume no change. But you are assuming no change. Now, there's no rational reason. If we took the statistics of the whole world from when the world was created till now, I wonder what we would find. I don't know. I wonder if we would find that most of the time, indeed, things didn't change, as we call it inertia, right? Things didn't change, or whether, you know, I think the statistic is meaningless, really, because we're not saying that Chazakas is like a force in the universe, that things, I don't know, maybe it is. I'm thinking now, maybe the principle of Chazaka is based on a certain way Hashem made the world, that things don't change until they're, you know, until they're pushed.
But they do.
Look at
the luach. I mean,
yeah, so you don't have a chazaka in those things. We're talking about a person's tamei. So, you know, till he goes to the mikveh, he's tamei. So if you have a suffix, if he went to the mikveh, there's, you know, okay, we're getting too philosophical. I'm going to pull back. It's not just a hanhaga. That's wrong. We don't work like that. We don't tell a person, okay, you can eat this piece of meat, and we don't care if it's chazer or not. You can eat it. That's hanhaga. That's wrong. It says, assume it's kosher. I'm not thinking about what the chazok is, whatever the case is.
How do we eat the dialogue?
What?
There's something buffed. Easiest buffed.
You learn how to stop with bittle.
Okay, no bittle.
Chazaka. Stick to chazaka.
Okay,
so he's asking a kasha. He's asking, there's a famous din that if someone walks in the path, two people walk down a path, right? You know one of the two paths is tamei. And two Torah people walk down each one. So you know one of them's tamei. But if they come to Beis Din separately, then Beis Din paskins each one with chazaka, and they say you're tahor. So, what do you want?
But if they come together, you've got a problem.
Yeah. So, I don't know what you're trying to prove. That's because you can't mix, because each one is in a separate world. You have no right to intrude the other person onto my psak. Okay. Let's go by that. I want to go by that. I don't agree at all, and I think nobody holds like that. Even if chazaka is not ascertaining the reality, but you have it forces you to assume the reality. You can't ignore the reality and say the Torah says you can eat it anyway. She can get married anyway. Like, we don't care anymore if she's kosher or apostle. That's essentially what you're saying. But Chazaka says you can marry her. There's no reason to say that. Chazaka is on the status of the thing. Chazaka doesn't say go marry her. Chazaka says assume she's kosher until such time that you know she became not kosher. And that's a force in the universe. That's a din. The Torah allows you to do that. That's the din of Chazaka.
He's not
yes. Right, so that's excellent. Marit holds that not bentesha is not a chazaka. Because it's all made to change. All I wanted to point out is that when you use the cheskos kashrus of the woman, it's not, it will have an immediate ramification. It will tell you, and therefore assume he wasn't nine. That's the whole thing I'm saying. Just like when you say she's becheskaseishes ish, and therefore assume the get was closer to him, and it wasn't closer to her. It's
logical,
not a vacuum.
Conclusion.
Yeah. Now it's not a logic. It's not a you're not ascertaining. True. But to whatever degree the chazaka is telling you something, assume the status quo remained. So assume he was under nine. Assume the get was closer to him. It's the same assumption. We know we're not clarifying the reality. The difference is when you have something like Tarti L'Reyesa. That's why the Cheskos Tomei, in effect, is that the Achronim explain it. The Cheskos Tomei of the person is in effect telling you, so assume the mikvah was Choser. What do we have? We hook up Harei Choser Lefanecha. We hook up when the mikvah was found to be deficient, not 40 saw. So we hook up that Chazaka Dahashta, we hook that up with the Cheskos Tumah of the person. That's called Tarti L'Reyesa. It should be coming out of our ears already, Tarti L'Reyesa. It was a previous prokem we learned it. You're exempt. You came in Perek Tes. Wait, the reason they could hook up, many Achronim say Beferish, is because they can add up. Because the Cheskos Tumah of the person ultimately is saying, and therefore assume the mikvah wasn't kosher. It's not in a vacuum. He's Tomei. I don't care what the mikvah was. He was Tomei. But that's not the Pshat Chazaka.
Okay. Isn't this whole difference between Hanhaga and assumption we discussed, like Shmaitza Aleph, with you can cross the street and maybe a truck will hit you, or is it... You know what I'm talking about, going back?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't see it.
No, so I'm saying that... To me, that...
You're talking about...
Right, in other words...
You're not talking about...
Are you a hook or not? Can you assume it's kosher?
Okay.
No, take your chances.
I'll tell you what, Eitan... Yeah, but he's right. It's just, it was confusing to me. He's not talking about chazaka. We discussed the din of the Rambam that Safek Yeraisa Lekula. And also you have the same question. What does Sovik Deraisa Lekula mean? Does it mean you can assume it's not, let's say you have a Sovik, if something's Chazir or not. So according to the Rambam, you could eat it. And again, it doesn't mean you don't know. It means it's a legal Sovik. Legally it's a Sovik. So what's the chat in the Rambam? Does the Rambam say, I don't care what it is, I'm going to eat it anyway? No. It's also, there was such a tzad, and we rejected it, and we said the Rambam holds. No, but there it was different. Our maskana was that it's not even assume it's not chazer. It's, you're allowed to take your chances.
That's kind of where I was going with this. It sounds
Chazaka's
more
like
a chazaka would be like that. Chazaka.
Something the rise of the kula, that's what you're doing. It's not a psak. No, you're right, but that's why you're wrong. No, you tapped into an important point. You see, everything Torah is very complex. Because Sovik Deraisa Lekula is not a psak. That's the words I would use. It's not a psak. That's a hanhoga. But not a hanhoga, go eat it and don't care. Because I say there's no such thing as go eat it and don't care. It's take your chances. I'm allowed to take my chances. The Torah is allowing you to take your chances. You are taking your chances. You could be walking off a cliff, and if you're walking off a cliff, you're going to break your leg. You could cross the highway without looking. You're taking a chance. The Torah is not paskening that no cars are coming. The Torah doesn't tell you you're allowed to assume that no cars are coming. The Torah.
No, but you also, in cases like that, have to.
That's what we said. Oh my goodness! Wait. Yeah, because you're taking your chances. It's not a psak. That's the difference. Is not a psak. The rabbi doesn't. It's not a psak. It's. So if it's not a psak, it's take your chances. There is a possibility to learn, go eat it anyway, and we don't care if it's chazer or not. But this rai is that that's not true, and I certainly don't think it's true because I hold that's an impossible matzah. The Torah doesn't do that. You can't ignore. You can't not care. You need some sort of legal mechanism to allow you to eat it. There's nothing wrong with saying take your chances. A mother can tell a child, run across the street, and I'm letting you take your chances. I'm not posturing no cars are coming. I'm not even telling you that you're allowed to assume no cars are coming. I'm telling you, go take your chances. Take your chances.
Nice parent.
You might get hit.
Oh, it's great for a person gets a sin? It's great that person gets a sin.
I don't know. You're asking why Hashem said that to us. It's a valid question. Maybe because Hashem wants you to take personal responsibility for your own actions. The Rambam doesn't say that if you decide to be machmir. See, that's the difference. If something is kosher al pi rov or chazaka, and you decide to be machmir, I would use very harsh words. I would say apikoris, but just to wake you up. I don't really think he's apikoris. But he's not accepting the Torah's din. But here's a perfect ramification. But if something derives from the kula, and the person says, but I don't want to take the chance, he did nothing wrong. I think it's commendable. Because all something derives from the kula, you take the chance. It doesn't paskin, you can do it. It's not a psak. It's saying to go take a chance. I don't want to take a chance.
If it's craving, it's a sin.
He can't. I don't know the word sin. He doesn't get a sin because the Torah said he's allowed to take his chances. But he ate chazer.
But it's not a sin.
Okay. So what do you want to know about a korban chatos? You want to know?
So what does it mean? The Rav said it means taking a chance, not taking a chance.
The way we explained it then was that it could still maybe be matambe or
nefesh. Whatever spiritual harm. Whatever spiritual harm, when there's a psak that it's mutter to eat, then I would assume for a dover poshut, Pesach, I would assume for a dover poshut that when there's a psak that you're allowed to eat it, it's illogical to me that it would have, let's say non-kosher food has spiritually harmful effects. So it's just not logical to me that if you're following a psak of the Torah, a rov, or even chazakah, that it would have those spiritually harmful effects. The Torah said, go eat it. But something derives from the kula, the Torah didn't say, go eat it. So it would have the spiritually harmful effects. The Torah didn't paskin, go eat it. The Torah said, do what you want.
That doesn't sound like the kula. But
it is, because if you hold the chumrah, then the Torah says, watch out. You can't cross the street.
If it was kosher.
You can't cross the street. No, it's not the Isser Chazer. The right? Chumrah means...
If it was the Chumrah, then, and it was Treifus there, it was Suffolk and Treifus, then when you eat it, even if it's kosher, you're over in Avera. Because it was Suffolk the Rice of the Chumrah.
Right, you're over that din of the Chumrah. The Torah says, don't cross the street till it's green. Mm-hmm. Don't cross the street. No, you're not allowed to. I forbid you to cross the street. And so if you cross the street and a car did not hit you, but you still violated the law of crossing the street. So if Hashem said, don't cross the street until you look both ways and you know there's no cars coming, so you violated that law.
Chazak is
a psak. Chazak is a psak.
Even though it's not a beer on the Yitzchus.
Beautiful. It's complicated. I can't help but that the Torah is complicated. That's why you learn a Shmaitza. The Torah is very complex. It's a legal system, and there's many, many subtleties, and there's a psak, and I got news for you. We didn't touch anything yet, because there's a difference between Ruba de Issa come on and Ruba de Lessa come on, right? We didn't touch Rove, which is a ascertaining of the mitzvahs here, but not really. Shmaitzadalit is about roll. Shmaitzadalit is about roll. So that's an ascertaining of the reality, but there's two types. There's really three types, because there's bittul berov. When something and one piece of meat falls into others, it becomes nullified. But that's also rov. It's rov. It's the koach of rov. So you have ruba de isa come on, ruba de lesa come on, then you have bittul berov. Then you have an eid echad. Then you have two edims. Everybody thinks two edim is like nirvana. You've reached the peak. But so why did the Rambam says believe two edim even if you don't know if they're telling the truth? Now what the hell is that supposed to mean? So most people would say, well, what do you want the Rambam to say? Of course you don't know they're telling the truth. To which if that's all the Rambam meant, then he wouldn't have said anything. Obviously you don't know if they're telling the truth or not, but the Torah told you to assume they're telling the truth. Like, why does the Rambam feel the need? So to me it's clear the Rambam is putting a little irrationality into the din. And he's saying, like, two edim are telling you the metzius, which you now assume it's true, even if you don't know it's true. I don't know, the Rambam's a subtlety. The Rambam's a subtlety. Two places, the Rambam has weird lashonos about two edim. One is this one I just quoted you, where he adds the tagline, even if you don't know if they're telling the truth or not. And in another place, he compares it to listening to a Navi. And the Navi has all the signs that he's a Navi. But you don't know that he's telling you to Dvar Hashem. So the Rambam says that one of the mitzvahs, of the minyan mitzvahs, is once a Navi proves himself through whatever way he proves himself, walks on water, whoops, wrong religion. Right?
He establishes himself that he's not a Navi Shekhar.
However that's done, so then the Rambam says if he tells you to do something, you have to listen. And then the Rambam says, just like when two Edim tell you something, and the Rambam's talking about that you don't really know that Hashem spoke to him or not, but he did what he's supposed to do to prove it. But you don't know. You don't know.
They both exhibit the signs.
So yeah, the Rambam's coming out of nowhere. It's an Hilchos Yesodei Torah. And all of a sudden he throws in something about Eidus. Because he says Hashem made a mitzvah to listen to the Navi. Just like Hashem said, Al Pishnayim Eidim Yokum Dover. Now, whoa! Like, that's such a curveball. But in those two places, it's clear in the Rambam that even two witnesses... So I'm saying it's so many subtleties. You have two witnesses, which is not as fantastic as you think. Then you have Bittul Berov. Then you have Ruben de Issa come on. Then you have Ruben de Lesser come on. Then you have Chazoka. And remember, Cheskas HaGuf was stronger than a Cheskas Din. Because Cheskas Guf addressed the reality, even if it didn't ascertain the reality.
Cheskas
Mammon is a whole lot of ballgame. I can't help it. That's what we're learning, Shmaitza. So, you know, it's a very complicated Torah. You know, this is, we're learning it deep.
Maybe the Rambam.
Stuff you don't learn when you learn the filmy, you don't learn this.
Maybe the Rambam, what he was saying when he made that filmy comparison, is that when a Navi says something, it's also Vadai.
Yeah, but the Rambam's point is that he just has to prove himself with the simonim, but you still don't know. I mean, you don't know. And then we can even carry this to the mitzvah of belief in Hashem, right? Is there an insistence that you should know? Or it's enough to assume or believe? Okay. We didn't get anywhere, but we learned a lot. I think so. Yeah.